worship. And joy for your gladness. Strength in your weakness. And hope when you're helpless. He'll be healing for heartache. Restore every heartbreak. Freedom in bondage. And each sin he will pardon. Every promise that he made, it will come to pass. He won't go back on his word. Every promise that he made, it will come to pass. Keep trusting, believing, hold fast.
Amen. I want to talk about when God moves in. Amen. Amen. Christianity is the only religion where God comes to live in a person. Amen. No one else teaches it. But our faith is a faith that teaches that God lives in us. And that is our belief. God resides in us. God stays in us. God moved in to us. And that's the message that he gave me. And the aim of our sermon is for us to identify where God lives. Amen. For us to identify where God lives. Amen. And so as we think about that, we know that a lot of people love to move in with others. Children like to move in, don't they? Just when you think they're gone, they want to move in with their parents. Then there are couples who say that they are so irresistible. The other person is so irresistible that I want to move in. Let's move in together. Amen. We just can't stay apart. We want to move in. But not only children and couples, but Christ. Christ wants to move in. And as we look at that this morning, what we find out is that this is a scripture this morning that lets us know that God wants to move in. But the problem is that God is holy and we are not. God is holy and we are not holy. We are unholy. And because God is holy and we are unholy, there are some difficulties that God just can't move in. But God has a way of preparing us for the move. And God loved Israel, and he decided that he would set them free from bondage. And that he would be among them, that he would dwell among them. But he had to get them out of Egypt. God says, I'm holy, and I want a stronger, better, closer relationship with my people. But they are sinners. They are unholy. I'm holy. How can we move in together? Amen. And so what God had to reiterate with them, first of all, about his holiness, he sent Moses down to get the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And when he sent him down there, he says, now, the land of Egypt is a type of sin, and that means that it's speaking about when something is a type, is speaking about something else. And so children of Israel in bondage are like Christians who are in bondage to sin. And just like he led them out of Egypt, he leads us out of sin. But you need to know that when God brings you out, he gives you everything you need to live away from sin. He takes care of you. He gives you blessing. He gives you health. He gives you wealth. And he makes us holy. But we know that there are some things that separate us from God, but we must recognize that he's holy and we are not holy. But we want to be with him, don't we? We want him to live in us. So God sent Moses down to get them out of sin, to get them out of Egypt. And he said, but the problem is that Moses, when he saw him on the backside of the desert, the Lord said to Moses, Moses was shepherding his father-in-law's sheep on the backside of the desert, and he began to see a bush that was burning, but it was not burning up. The bush was on fire. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Amen. He said, Moses, don't come no closer. In Exodus chapter 3, he said, the ground you're standing on is holy ground. Don't come no closer. Moses, I'm holy, you're not holy. Don't come any closer. Draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer, Moses. Because I'm holy and you're unholy. And now, matter of fact, take off your shoes. Take your sandals off. You're standing on holy ground. Have you ever thought about you on holy ground when you're on that which belongs to the Lord? That which is the Lord's house. You're sitting on holy pews. All of this has been dedicated to God. It's his property. It's holy. It's sanctified. The people are ordained and set apart. Deacons are set apart. And the choir robes are set apart. It's bought with God's money. It's holy. It's holy. It's what I'm saying. It's holy. It's set apart. And it's not just to be taken for granted. And God told Moses, don't come any closer. He said, surely I have seen the affliction of my people down in Egypt. They've been down there for over 400 years, and I've been watching everything that's been going on. Yes, I have. They have been mistreated in Egypt. The taskmasters have brutally ruled over them and beaten them and made them do things that are ungodly. I'm fed up with it. I want to send you to bring my people out. Amen. God, when he gets ready to make a move, he makes it. He doesn't come, somebody say, when you want him to, but he's right on time. He says, Moses, I'm going to send you to bring my people out. And not only that, Moses, I want you to bring them out, but I don't want you to bring them out broke. No. I'm going to make them pay my Israelites for everything that they did wrong to them. I'm going to make them pay them back wages. I'm going to make them, they'll pay retroactive. I'm going to pay them for all of the abuse that they went through. So I don't have no problem taking money from the world. The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. It's God's anyway. Me and Todd was talking. HEB sell us God's food. I should be eating free. That's my daddy's food. It's mine anyway. How did you get your hands on it? Amen. So I don't have no problem taking because it's mine anyway. Amen. You bring a big offering, you bring it here, I'll take it. I sure will take it. The church will take your offering from the devil, yes, and make it work for the kingdom of God. Amen. Most definitely. It's His anyway. Now, a lot of folks don't like this part. And a lot of churches teach that you can't be too hard on the churches that believe in prosperity. They just need to have a balanced message. God does bless His people. And if you're not blessed, there's something wrong. Because when you live by the principles of the book, you're going to get blessed. And if you're not, then there's something drastically wrong. But God blesses His people. He brings you out, and He does not bring you out broke. God brings you out blessed. Amen. And we'll see it right here in Exodus 3:22. We find out that and that's the thing. God said about when He told Moses, I'm bringing them out, He says in verse number 22 of Exodus 3, third chapter, 22nd verse, but every woman shall borrow, and that word means ask in the Hebrew, every woman shall ask of his neighbor and of her that sojourns in her house or lives in a house, jewels of silver and what? And what? And raiment. And ye shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall what? Spoil the Egyptians. And that word spoil there means to plunder, and that is to take for one's own purpose. You are going to plunder the Egyptians. Y'all don't like that part in the Bible. It says that when you leave Egypt, you're going to take some stuff with you. That tabernacle that was built in the wilderness out there in the desert, you know God led them in the desert. And they built a tabernacle over $5 million. Where'd they get that from? They spoiled the Egyptians. God said, I'm not sending you out broke. I want you to get your stuff. They're going to pay you for mistreating you. Amen. God got a payment for you. And sure enough, that's what happened. As you look at Exodus chapter 11, amen. Like I said, you're going to be using your Bible. Exodus chapter 11 and verse 2, notice what he says. This is your deliverance. You ought to want to know this. He says, speak now in the ears of the people, Exodus 11 and 2. And let every man, that word is borrow, which really means ask, let every man ask, in verse 2 of Exodus 11, his neighbor and every woman of his neighbor, what? Jewels of silver, what else? Jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. God says, I'm going to make them like you and want to give you something before you leave. All you got to do is go ask for it. A lot of time you have not because you just didn't ask for it. God said, ask for it. Ask me. You didn't ask. Amen. There's a lot of things people can get if they just ask. And he said, look, I want you to give them some gold, and I'm going to give them silver. And God said, I'm going to give you favor. I'm going to make them like you. And they're going to want to give you some gold and some silver. And what we find out, this was before the last plague. And God said, wait a minute, don't get out too fast. I want you to get your stuff. Go back and get your gold and go back and get your silver and get your linen. And those were some expensive Egyptian spoils that they got from them. And God says, I want you to get your stuff. You're not just going to leave. They're going to thrust you out in verse 1, but I don't want them to throw you out too quick. Bring some stuff with you. And then he says in chapter 12, verse 36, notice, if you will, another confirmation, verse 35 of Exodus 12. He says, and the children of Israel did according to the words of Moses, and they borrowed or asked of the Egyptians what? Jewels of silver. See, y'all not going to. You need to know this until you know I'm telling you the truth. And I'm in Exodus chapter 12, verse 35. The children of Israel did according to the words of Moses, the word of Moses, and they borrowed or asked of the Egyptians what? And raiment. They had linen. And read verse 36. And the Lord favored Egyptians so that they. And they did what to the Egyptians? They did what to the Egyptians? They spoiled. They took their stuff with them. They didn't leave empty-handed. God don't want to bring you into Christianity broke. This ain't no broke religion. Most people think you're more holy if you broke. That's a lie. That's a lie. Now, if your motive is money, then it's bad. But our motive is, this is the word of the Lord. And he says that they lent unto them, and that word lent means gave them such as they required. And they spoiled the Egyptians. They got their freedom, but they also got their funds. They left out of the world rich. They went out into a desert and built a tabernacle that estimated conservatively over $5 million. They did not leave broke. They left rich. Where do you think they got all that gold from? They are building this tabernacle, and God told Moses, that's what I want you to do. He told them before they left, I'm going to tell you before you leave, Pharaoh's not going to want to let you go, and you're going to leave rich. Before he even turned the Nile River into blood, he already told them what the deal was going to be. And sure enough, they left rich. And those items were on wagons and their beasts, as they carried this stuff out into the desert. And we find out that God is that kind of a God. Now, God needed what they brought out of Egypt for them to be able to worship him. Because there's three things that you have to recognize about God. And number one is, you can't serve God without boundaries. God has boundaries. God has boundaries. We see the boundaries. We see the building. And we see the body. We see the boundaries. We find out that God is holy and you are unholy, but God gives you necessary, what you need that's necessary for you to worship him. And so what we find here simply, as you keep looking in your Bible, chapter 19 of Exodus. Chapter 19, we find out that God told them that he is holy. And we see how holy God is. In case you didn't know it, he's so holy you can't get close to him. In chapter 19, verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people and sanctify them, set them apart today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai, and thou shalt set bounds. Set what? Unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount. Don't touch the border of it. Whosoever touches it, what happens? They shall what? Don't touch that mountain. Now, God's on the top of the mountain, and they can't even touch the border of the mountain. If you do, that meant death. To touch it, in verse 13, there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned, or shot, or ran through with an arrow, shot through, whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet sounds long, and they shall come up to the mountain. And Moses, verse 14, went down from the mountain unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. He said unto the people, be ready at the third day, and you cannot even get close to your wife. No more intimacy for the next 3 days. No physical contact with your wife. No involvement. And verse 16 says, it came to pass on the third day morning, in the morning, that there were thundering and lightning and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceedingly loud, so that all the people that were in the camp did what? And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Moses And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in what? And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain what? Quaked greatly, the whole mountain. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. In verse 21, and the Lord said to Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break forth unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. They're going to get destroyed by trying to see me. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds. Everybody say, set bounds. About the mountain, and sanctify it. And the Lord said to him, away, get thee down, thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to come unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. And Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. Amen. Moses had to get it straight that you cannot just go into the presence of God. You have to be equipped to do so. Notice, if you will, in chapter 20, verses 18 through 22. Amen. He said, look, there was thundering in verse 18. There was lightning, and the mountain was smoking, and the people stood afar off. And you know what they said? Look, you talk to God. In verse 20, he said, Moses said unto the people, fear not. In verse 19, they said unto Moses, speak thou unto us, and we would hear, but let not God speak unto us, lest we die. God is so holy. He said, look, you can talk to God, we'll talk to you, because God is so holy. Amen. Can everybody say God is holy?